Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday. Athletes from all over the state are going to be competing this weekend in Wausau, Wisconsin. Nearly 300 athletes will be on Wausau's trails and slopes for Special Olympics Wisconsin's Winter Games. And we are delighted this hour to meet some of those people who have been competing for a long, long time in Special Olympics, and one of the coaches of Special Olympics also joining us. Everybody is in our Milwaukee studios. Christine Cherney is with us. Christine has been competing for a number of years. She is a year-round Special Olympics athlete and has competed in aquatics, athletics, bowling, soccer, softball, tennis, volleyball, alpine skiing, and also snowshoeing. She joined Special Olympics Wisconsin about 23 years ago, and she has competed in four World Games, the Connecticut World Games, the North Carolina World Games, the 2001 Alaska World Games, and best of all, because I'm Irish, the 2003 Ireland World Games, and we are delighted to have her with us. Her mom says that Special Olympics is the greatest organization on earth, not only for our daughter, but for any individual with physical or mental disabilities or limitations. Christine, thank you so much for joining us in our studios today. Is it just my love of Ireland, but was Ireland the best, or was another one the best?
I think Ireland was the best. I really don't have a favorite World Games or National Games. To me, they're all the best because then we get to meet new people, go to a different country or state, or just get to travel. So I really don't have a favorite.
I'm amazed by the variety of sports that you do. It's not easy for somebody to be a swimmer and a bowler and to play soccer and softball and all of those different athletic endeavors, is it? That's quite something. You must be quite an athlete.
I am quite an athlete. It's actually hard work doing all these sports. Me personally, I don't have a favorite sport. I just like them all. But it's hard work because you get done with one sport and then we start another sport. So then you're using different muscles and different strength for different things. So, yeah, I like it. It's a lot of fun.
Good. You must like it. You've done it for a long time, yeah. And you do it all year. Also joining us in our studio is Anthony Porter. Anthony is a Special Olympics Wisconsin athlete, and he has also competed all over the country. He has attended many state winter games for snowshoe racing and speed skating. He took home a gold medal in 2011 for shoeing in the 50 and 100 dash. He has competed in Special Olympics basketball, softball, soccer, and volleyball for more than 24 years. And he has said, Special Olympics made me realize people with intellectual disabilities can lead regular lives. I learned that it's okay to say I have a disability and that I'm in Special Olympics. He also participates, and we'll ask him to talk much more about this, in the Special Olympics Athlete Leadership Program. And he speaks in public about Special Olympics and advocating for the rights of individuals. And Anthony, thank you very much for being with us. I wish you could see Anthony. We'll put a picture on Facebook later, but he is ready to go. You can spot Anthony miles away with his bright shirt and Special Olympics insignia on it. Thank you, Anthony, for being with us.
You're welcome.
You also participate in a whole variety of sports. Is there one that's more challenging to you than others?
Yeah, speed skating is one of the challenging ones, because you're absolutely on ice, and your skates, you're on ice skates, you're on ice, you're going a little fast.
So yeah, you are.
So it's a lot different than any other, but yeah, I like it.
You like it. And is it hard for you to go from sport to sport? Does it require a different use of all of your muscles?
Yeah, all different sports use different muscles. The basketball, you're running, so you're using your legs. Speed skating, you're using legs and your feet, and all of that kind of stuff.
And tell me just a little bit about the leadership program. What are your special responsibilities, Anthony?
As the leadership program is helps where athletes go around and give interviews like today.
Oh.
Or give speeches to companies or who's trying to fund Special Olympics or to speeches. And there's also the athlete as coaches where some of the athletes want to be a coach, so they go through training like that. Or even the fundraising. We take a course on how to go and ask for money and that stuff.
Well, we'll ask you to do that at the end of the show. You can ask everybody for money.
All right.
Somebody cool. out there is loaded who's listening, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll send some. Who knows? Linda Brothen. Is it Brothen or Brothen?
Brothen.
It is Brothen. That's what I thought. Linda Brothen is also with us. She is Special Olympics Wisconsin coach and agency manager. She has coached nearly 20 athletes to the state winter games in Wausau. She began coaching more than 25 years ago, started out as a volunteer, wanted to get more involved, and then began coaching. She is certified to coach powerlifting, volleyball, softball, bocce, snowshoe racing, soccer, aquatics, and basketball. And she acts as the head coach of bowling and bocce and assistant coach of athletics and snowshoe racing. She served as the head coach for bocce at the 2010 and 2006 National Games. Tell me, you went from being a volunteer to becoming heavily, heavily involved as a coach, Linda. Why did you do that?
Because of the athletes. Yes, I started out just as an area volunteer, and you got to know the athletes. They got to know you. They were just a very welcoming group, very encouraging, I've told everybody that if you want a high from kind of activities, Special Olympics is your game. It's just a matter of watching the athletes grow over the years. I've watched both Christine and Anthony for those many years. A lot of them have matured, become more very good adults. I use both of these as mentors for new athletes coming in. Mm. They're very good working with them. But that was a lot of it. It was just the athletes really enjoy your company. They need help. They need assistance. And yet they also are fully capable. I am certified in all those coaches, those sports, but I am rather diminutive, so I don't really do basketball. So I kind of help out a lot. But watching them go from a basketball skills to a team basketball, or watching them mature, watching them gain ability, or as they grow older, maybe they're not quite as good as they used to. But the athletes have done a lot, as well as the coaches are great, and the parents,
mm-hmm.
fully supportive of their child, whatever that age the child is.
Hmm.
So it's marvelous.
Yeah. We're going to welcome phone calls, too, for those of you who are involved in Special Olympics or have questions, or if you have a lot of money, Anthony wants some of it for the program. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Christine, let me go to you. You are quoted as saying when you joined Special Olympics, you were 17 years old. You describe yourself as someone who was immature, who cried all the time, was shy and afraid of everyone, had no friends except for your family, and no interest in any sport. Wow, what a change. How did Special Olympics make that kind of change in your life?
It changed my life because now I'm active in sports. I got friends. I'm not afraid anymore from when I first started. Because when I first started, it was like new. Like for everybody, it's new to sports and that. Now I've grown and I got friends and all that. So it really changed my life from when I first started.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that, as you said, too, that the whole organization, that there are friendships that are very important mm-hmm. for everybody who's involved, for volunteers, for coaches, for the athletes themselves. It must be a wonderful feeling to have that sense of community.
It is. It's because we still, no matter like World Games or National Games, we meet new friends from different countries, and there's still sometimes maybe we're still friends and we keep in touch or something like that, or it's just an honor to meet new people, even if we're going out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like maybe you get to meet people from a different country. We know we don't speak their language, but that's okay if we still find a way to communicate communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. And Anthony, what about you? You were a young guy. You still look very young, but you were a very young guy when you started this. Would you describe yourself as shy and isolated as Christine was or not?
Yeah, I was very
really?
Very shy. At age of 13, you're sent down two grades, so you're not with your classmates. So you're kind of figuring out why that was. And just the peer pressure of being older. And that's the peer pressure of school. You're different. Why are you different than everyone else? I mean, other people, you're in special classes, you might look different, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And so did you hold all of that inside, or did you reach a point that you were able to tell people who you were?
At first, I was too embarrassed. I wouldn't wear any Special Olympics stuff. I wouldn't tell anyone I was in Special Olympics. Then about high school, I realized that it was okay. That we do have lives and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say you have a disability and that, and people accept you for who you are and not your disability.
Right. And then you could tell them that you're a speed skater, too, and how many of them are speed skaters?
Yeah.
Right, you know? Not very many.
Uh-huh.
Do you see, you must see a lot of people really embrace that community and blossom in as a result of participating in Special Olympics, Linda?
Oh, absolutely. Special Olympics is first and foremost a sports organization. Notwithstanding that, it is probably one of the biggest social groups that you have ever seen. These are their peers. Whether they're 8 to 80, this is a group that they get along with. The sports allows them to be part of mainstream America, because sports is so important to the American culture. This allows the people with the developmental disabilities to participate. It gives them a fair, and I says their friendships that they form, whether they're on the same team, it doesn't matter whether they're the same ability level or not, they're still their friends.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a very good, we do social activities within our agency as well as sports organizations. And everybody enjoys it, has a good fun. Those who want to do it, fine. But yes, it's very much a peer group social organization as well as involved in doing the sports.
Mm-hmm. And why is it sports that are important here? That's interesting what you said, Linda. Could it be something else? Or is there something about the place of sports in our society and how we really like to applaud people who are good at sports? Is there some reason that it's sports and not, I don't know, bingo? Christine?
That's a good question. I don't even know.
It feels natural. I mean, it
yeah,
feels like it,
does.
It was the right...
Yeah.
Anthony, what about you? Do you think there's a reason that it's sports instead of something else?
Sports kind of does put you guys together and social, and you got the team thing, so you always together and social and that stuff.
Right. And will there come a point, I know you're mentoring young people who mm-hmm. are entering this program right away, but do you see, I would imagine that you could compete for a long period of time, can't you? There, people compete in sports when they're older.
Yeah, we have people in their
80s.
Do you really?
In our agency, our youngest athlete is 8, which is the minimum age. Our oldest active athlete is 80 years old, and he competes in 4 sports a year.
Is it unusual to compete in the variety of sports that both of you compete in, or do a lot of people just specialize in their speed skaters or their, you know, skiers or cross-country skiers? Or do many of you compete in a lot of different sports?
Many of us compete in a lot of different sports. We go from, like, team sports to individual sports, and so, yeah, a lot of people compete in more than one sport a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good because you get friends we know, and it's like, okay, we get competitors, even in the individual sports. Sometimes, like, because I'm a swimmer, and that's, a individual sport. But then swimming, we have relay races, too. So it's like, okay. We get friends we know that are on our relay races. So it's good competitive to competition, too, when we have practice swims.
Mm-hmm.
We usually, like, have mini races where we're swimming against our team sports, our teammates, so we know what their abilities are. And
Linda, what about coaching? Is it more difficult to coach individual sports, or is it more difficult to do the whole team sport?
In general, I tend to suspect that it's more difficult to coach the team sports simply because even within a team where everybody has similar abilities, there's different ways of learning things, there is a different level of ability, how they handle, you know, moving and everything. So being able to work with the athletes on that team orientation where you've got somebody who doesn't run as fast, somebody who is the speed of lightning, where they have to go up and down the court at the same time. So you have to work to coordinate, you know, 5 to 10 players at a time rather than an individual sport where you can work with one-on-one. So the team sports are a little bit harder.
Has all of this made you a more athletic person? Are you more interested in sports, and have you become a swimmer, or not a basketball player, I know, but a cross-country skier or something?
At 4'9", I'm not a basketball player. No, it actually has not. I'm more active in being appreciative of sports. I watch more sports. I go to more sport games. I enjoy watching them. Am I personally an athlete? No.
It's never too late, Linda.
My skills, I've done bowling. I enjoy bocce.
Oh.
But I've actually done some speed skating in my youth many years ago. But no, I have done soccer. I've done basketball. I've done all the sports. But no, I do not participate that much more.
But you do bowling and bocce, yeah. So... you're involved in sports. We have a Facebook message from Marcia who asks both the athletes, I'd love to know, and the coach too, the favorite place that the competitors have squared off in, your favorite place. We talked about Ireland, but are there other places? And it doesn't have to be what it looked like. It can be just the quality of the competition and the friendships and all of that. Anthony?
I think going back to Ireland is one of the best competitions. The all different kinds of competitions we saw, like teams from Africa, I mean, and Mexico, where they go and they can kick a ball half of the soccer field and they can do stuff with their feet. It's really neat to see.
There is something about it still brings a tear to my eye when I watch Special Olympics, the regular Olympics, that the whole world gathers. There's just something absolutely wonderful about that, isn't there?
Yeah, it is extreme. I mean, I've been to 3 World Games, and each time it's a little bit different because you just get that world. It's neat to see all the people coming from different places, learning new cultures, new foods. How they speak, how they dress.
The people of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
The people.
The people.
Of Ireland. Remember that?
Oh, the people of Ireland were...
Remember that they came to your games?
Oh, yeah. We spent 2 weeks in Ireland, and we had... and even the impact on the country of Ireland. We played in Dublin, and we stayed in a little village called Coot Hill, and they took off business and school to come watch our soccer game. So it was really cool just to see this, even the countries or the states, this, how the community comes in and involves.
Who won, should I ask?
Germany beat us in the championship.
Oh, you were in the championship, though.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
In soccer.
That's great.
But they were good.
But you were good, too.
We were good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you were both good. Christine, I think you said Ireland, too, but go beyond Ireland or talk more about Ireland.
My favorite place is Alaska.
Oh.
For snowshoeing, because I ran the 1,600 meters actually on my birthday. And it was, I actually came in first, too, actually on my birthday. So that was a lot of fun because I had different countries and all that singing happy birthday to me.
Oh, nice.
Even in their languages. And it's like, that was pretty cool just to hear happy birthday in different languages.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was.
Is Alaska beautiful?
Alaska's beautiful, but not to go at wintertime because there's no animals out at wintertime.
Oh.
But it's beautiful during winter.
We welcome phone calls if you'd like to join our conversation. We're talking with Special Olympians and with a coach. There will be a lot of competitions this weekend, January 19th and 20th, at Special Olympics Wisconsin State Winter Games, taking place in Wausau. Competition begins Saturday at 11 o'clock. There are a couple events that will have to be canceled because, unfortunately, we haven't had a whole lot of snow. Unless we get a whole lot of snow in the next couple days, we will talk about that. But you'll be able to see a lot of the events. And also, I think there's a need for volunteers still. Is there or not? No, there is not a need. Okay, forget that. But we'll give you a phone number to volunteer for other events that are coming up. So, Special Olympics Wisconsin, providing year-round training and competition opportunities through 17 different Olympic-type sports for nearly 10,000 individuals, and it's quite a program. We welcome your phone calls. If you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like more information about what's going on in Wausau or what our athletes and coach have been able to do in their many years of being with Special Olympics, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Christine Cherney, athlete with Wisconsin Special Olympics. Anthony Porter, also an athlete with the program. And Linda Brothen, coach and agency manager for Wisconsin Special Olympics, are all our guests in our studios here in Milwaukee. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show if you'd like to leave a message there. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just a couple alerts. Tomorrow during this time period, President Obama, in a press conference or announcement today, will be talking about gun safety. We will be talking about that issue tomorrow during our 9 o'clock hour. Hour two of our program today will speak with everybody who's in the show, How the World Began, which is at the Stimke Theater, Milwaukee Repertory Theater, is putting on this show, which opens on Friday of this week. So all of the actors will be, and the director, will be with us hour two of our program. This hour is Special Olympics. We have three guests with us in our studios here in Milwaukee. They have been competing all over the world in Special Olympics, and we're also speaking with a coach and agency manager for the Wisconsin Special Olympics. Here's our phone number. Join the conversation. We'd like to hear from you at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we start our calls with Carrie in Wauwatosa. Hi, Carrie.
Good morning. I am an Olympics junkie. I can't get enough Olympic sport, no matter which winter, summer, doesn't matter. But I have to say that the athletes in Special Olympics are truly the most inspiring. It's amazing to watch you guys achieve the way you do. And You guys really keep me going, keep me positive through some pretty dark times. And I hope you guys realize what an inspiration and how awesome you are. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to see you achieve.
Thank you, Carrie, for your call. That's a nice call. You're an inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that? Do you know you're an inspiration?
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. Linda.
Overall, they do have one of the best records for sportsmanship, I think. Yeah, they get disappointed if they lose a game. But you lose 26-1, and big deal. You play the next game, and that's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. Disappointments, yes, but there's always another game. There's always another sport. So they really do, overall, have some of the best good sportsmanship that I've seen.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Would both of you agree with that? Are you good sports people, Christine?
I agree with Linda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony?
I guess I do.
But maybe not. Maybe. I heard a little hesitation.
Oh, it's good sportsmanship.
But you don't like to lose.
But I don't like to lose.
What do you do when you lose?
I try not to get too mad.
Mm-hmm. But there is, yes. As Linda said, there's always another game, right?
Yeah, there's always another game, but it's the close game.
Right.
Or it's qualifying for state games. Or you knew you could have done better.
There you go.
And you didn't.
Right.
That's what I get the most mad about.
Right.
It's because we didn't do what our capability was.
But then it just makes you do better the next day, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Carrie, for the call. Cynthia in Madison is next. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. Oh, I'm excited to be on the air.
Good.
I was just calling to comment on the community that Special Olympics also provides for the parents of many of the athletes. And it, you know, gives them a place to get together and just enjoy their children in a community setting.
And Christine's mom is here, and she can answer that and speak to that, I'm sure.
That is true. It's a great organization where you can get a lot of feedback from different moms and dads, grandparents, whatever. They're all our children, but everyone is different. And like all of us, we all have good days. We all have bad days. Sometimes you hear a story from another mom or dad, and you think, oh, well, I'll try that on my child if that happens. So it's a great learning center. And I know it's done me a lot of good over all the years, because at one point in time, you do think, I mean, your child is different than maybe your other children you have. You have to treat them differently. You have to try to teach them differently. It creates a lot of social problems, not only in the family, but outside of the family. And we're no different than anybody else. We need feedback and help at times, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just neat to be able to talk to people once in a while and kind of unload your own troubles. And a lot of times you wind up saying, well, I guess mine's not as bad as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to many of the competitions, Ruth?
All of them.
You've been to all of them?
Yeah.
All over the world?
Yeah. We have three children. We have a son and a daughter, other than Christine. And we just made it a point that no matter what sport any of our children were in, I found a way to do it. You know, it was a matter of maybe running from one event right to the next, but that's just being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to treat Christine as fair and as same as our other two kids, and that's how she grew up, just knowing she may have been different, but she's not.
Right. Thank you. Unless you had something else, Cynthia?
No, that's all.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Here's an email from Sarah. What do you like to do when you are not training? Anthony?
When I'm not training, I like to... I also have a job at Sendex Food Market.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, so I do that. I also have three brothers and four sisters.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I like to spend time with them. going to movies or friends going to movies. I'm also a very much a sports junkie, so I like going to the Bucks games or the Admirals game or my favorite college, Illinois games, or even Badger games.
Mm-hmm. Brewers games.
And my Brewers favorite games. My favorite major league team is the Brewers.
Yes, mine too. Yes, baseball. You have a huge family.
Yes.
Is that good for those of us who have small families? I was just talking about this with my son the other day. What would it be like to have a huge family?
It is absolutely awesome. There's always something to do. I mean, if there's a problem within the family, we're always there.
Mm-hmm.
And this to talk to or that you know you would get the honest truth from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neat.
It's good. You have a good, strong family.
Yes.
Yeah. Christine, what do you do when you're not training?
I work at a travel agency in the brochure department.
Great.
Let's see, what else? I have a brother and a sister, and then I have four nephews and a niece. And so then we'll usually babysit and hang out with them, and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy.
Good. What about jobs? Was it hard for both of you to find jobs?
Yes.
Or not? It was?
It was hard for me to find a job. I started in when I was in high school, so I've been there for at least 21 years already.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
You're a good worker then.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Anthony, what about you? Was it hard to find work?
Oh, not as much as, I mean, not just because of the disability. It was just hard maybe because of the economy or stuff like that.
It is harder for a lot of them because of speed in which they can learn something or do something. Or some of the athletes have problems reading and writing. And so, yes, there are some limitations in job. Obviously, in many cases, it's an opportunity, a problem getting to work.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these athletes actually drive.
Oh, that's great.
But not many of them do. So activities. So that's why programs like MCFI, Goodwill, are really marvelous because they do work with the athletes. But yes, it can be difficult at times to try to get jobs that fit the skill levels of a lot of the athletes.
Thanks, Cynthia, very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655, and a couple lines are open if you'd like to join this conversation. We're talking about Special Olympics. The Winter Games are in Wausau this weekend, and our guests have been competing in Special Olympics all year long, all over the world for a number of years, and we also have a coach with us who's been coaching for a number of years. We go to Carol in Menominee. Hi, Carol.
Good morning. I'm actually calling from Menominee Falls.
Oh.
And I'm the mother of a new Special Olympian, and I just want to express to all the athletes what a wonderful job they do, and more importantly to the public, that it is such a joy to see the abilities of all the people, as one of the callers said, an inspiration. And not only for the people that watch them, but to hear about them. And one of the comments I'd quickly like to make is, in our community, it's a win-win situation because one of our varsity high school basketball teams came to volunteer and play with the basketball part of it, and they might have come in feeling a little shy at times, but I think they all benefited from that experience.
Thank you, Carol. Linda?
I'd like to add to that is one of the athletes from our agency works at UWM, and he has often had players from some of the teams there. We've also had clinics like with the Nicolet girls volleyball team, and yeah, I think a lot of them are kind of like not too certain when they come, but by the time they leave working with the athletes, I think they've got a new admiration for what our athletes put into what they learn.
They're not too certain, meaning what? They don't understand disabilities or what?
How to interact with them.
Really?
Because it is the different. Well, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same as us. Hmm. And then they find out that Everybody loves sports. Everybody wants to learn something new. And I think they learn a whole new admiration for what our athletes are attempting to do and succeed in doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, both of you, I mean, you're young people, but I'm interested in both of your stories when you were teenagers yourselves, that you felt very different, that you were isolated. Do you think that people who are coming into Special Olympics now are different? Do they still have that sense of, I'm not like everybody else, I'm nervous, I'm isolated? Or do they feel, because of all that you've done and the prominence of Special Olympics, do they feel better about themselves than you did? Anthony?
Especially in the school age, I can definitely see where some of the high school students, where they are definitely, I mean, I can see myself in them, is because they're kind of shy or stuff like that. But then they see us older people interacting and saying, so they are learning to see that it, I mean, they are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really need to be shy or anything.
Christine, what about you?
I agree with Anthony. I really don't have anything on that one.
Okay. What about your friends? We have a caller who wanted to know, couldn't stay on the line, if you try to get your friends to join, or do your friends already compete? Christine?
All my friends from now always, they already compete. Because these are my friends over here, and I have more friends. But they compete now anyway, so.
Anthony?
Yeah, back in 2004, I was an AmeriCorps volunteer.
Oh, you were?
And that was one of my jobs, is to go into schools and to
Advocate
uh-huh. for Special Olympics to see how special, and even volunteers, to get volunteers. But I did tell them that once you start, there is no going back, because it's so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you did AmeriCorps. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a good program, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Your brother is listening. We have a Facebook message from Porter, who said, listening to my brother Tony right now on your show, I just want to say I love him and I'm very proud of his accomplishments. That's nice. You have a good family, don't you? Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and we're talking about Special Olympics this hour of the program. Your brother's name is Tom. Tom Porter is the last name. And we have several guests with us. Christine Cherney is an athlete with the Wisconsin Special Olympics. She has competed all over the world, in Ireland and Alaska, and she does all kinds of sports, Special Olympic all year long, athlete, aquatics, athletics, bowling, soccer, softball, tennis, volleyball, alpine skiing, I'm amazed, and snowshoeing. Also joining us is Anthony Porter, and Anthony has been competing for a number of years as well. He is in basketball, softball, soccer, and volleyball for more than 24 years. And as you can tell from both of our guests, this organization has been huge in their lives, as it has been in the life of Linda Brothen. The Special Olympics Wisconsin coach and agency manager started out as a volunteer many years ago, and then started coaching athletes, and does that now. She is certified to coach powerlifting, volleyball, softball, bocce, snowshoe racing, soccer, aquatics, and basketball. More phone calls in a moment. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program this Wednesday, we will be speaking with almost everybody who's involved in the actual production. Not everybody, because there are a lot of people involved in this production, but the actors and the director of the show How the World Began, which will open, previews I think start tonight, but the show opens on Friday at the Stemke Theater, and it's a very interesting play. This is the first time I ever saw a rehearsal of a play, which was a very interesting experience. It's about a young teacher who has a degree in science, inexperienced teacher from New York City who goes to Kansas, to a small town, after a devastating tornado, and what happens in an offhand comment that she makes that really stirs everything up. And it's very interesting. We'll talk to the director. We'll talk to Deborah Staples, who plays the lead in How the World Began. Ben Charles and Marty Lodge will all join us, hour two of our program. Martha, next caller, everybody. Martha in Menominee. Hi, Martha.
Hi, good morning. I'm really enjoying the program. I teach horseback riding, and I've been involved over the years with therapeutic riding, and this is a wonderful aspect of a sport. It's actually the only Olympic sport that involves animals, and the rapport between riders with abilities and unique abilities really seem to connect, and it's a wonderful program. I would encourage folks to look into it. It can be done for all ages, and as I said, folks with all kinds of different abilities. And I have wonderful things to say about the program. People relate to horses, even people who have never been around horses, and it's amazing to watch the children and the adults, the volunteers, the instructors, everyone that comes together to get people involved in this program. I just can't say enough about it.
Is horseback riding a part of Special Olympics, Anthony?
Unfortunately, not in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh.
But it is a Special Olympics sport. I've seen it a couple times at the World Games in Connecticut and New Haven.
And there are programs in the Milwaukee area. Unfortunately, I don't remember the names of them. But there are a couple programs in the greater Milwaukee area that do offer horseback riding lessons for specifically geared towards people with disabilities. Because, again, the interrelationship between them and the horse. And I know of some of the athletes who have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't honestly remember the names of the programs, but they are around. And the ones that I've known who've done it have seriously enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm sure. People, when they love horses, they love horses and love to ride them. What does it take for a sport to be a part of Special Olympic competition? Yeah. We have somebody from Special Olympics with us who can answer that. We're just passing around the microphone.
Basically, part of it is based on demand, what we hear from the athletes. As Anthony was saying earlier, we have an athlete leadership program, and we have part of that is the Athlete Input Council, where we ask athletes for their feedback on what sports they would be interested in. So a big part of it is on demand. Speed skating was one of our sports earlier, and there was a lack of demand, so we don't have that quite as much anymore. Yeah, I think Linda's giving me a symbol. It looks like there were 8 athletes involved, so we no longer offer that at the state level anymore. So it is a lot based on demand.
Uh-huh. So you would consider how would it be that somebody would take up riding, make that a part of Special Olympics?
Definitely. If that's something that they're interested in, I would say just, let your coaches know. And from there, they would let the state office know. And we can try and make arrangements if it's a sport that's high in demand.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine was involved at one point. A number of years ago, they tried sailing.
Oh, there's my sport.
And Christine was one of the athletes that was involved in that. Unfortunately, for all the lakes that we have, there wasn't quite the demand for sailing.
Right.
But Christine did it.
It's fun, isn't it? I love to sail.
I did, too. It was a lot of fun to get out and learn the basics, how to tie knots, and learn from the different kinds of sails. And actually, we took it out on Lake Michigan
a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great sport. It requires all of your concentration, doesn't it? And it's amazing how fast you can go with just the wind and the sails. Yeah, I think it's great. Would you like to be a horseback rider? Horseback rider?
I would try it. I don't know. I'm the athlete person that will try anything.
I can tell. You're game for all of it.
Yeah.
Anthony, would you like to ride horses?
I would love to. I've been horseback riding, and that would be interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the call. Joy in Milwaukee. Hello, Joy.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me on. I'm just calling about, first of all, how fantastic Special Olympics is. And
I taught. I am retired from Milwaukee Public Schools, but I was involved in 1986 when Eunice Shriver and Bart Connors came to central office, and we had a meeting with them to start up
the
Olympics.
Oh,
in the only school system that has their the entire school system is involved in Special Olympics, and we've carried that through since '86. We have it has been fantastic for kids of you know all over the city, and for many of our kids who would never ever be involved. And I had the advantage of being being able to take them for Winter Olympics, for Summer Olympics. Our physical education fraternity sponsored their track and field meet in spring. And but I do have to tell, two things. When we have our bowling or any of the other ones, which we have consistently all the way through the year, many of us who are retired still volunteer, but we get all the high school kids from around the city of Milwaukee. And they come in and help. They are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Even our kids who come out of the adjudicated system will come in and do a fantastic job with all of these athletes. It's marvelous. I wish everyone would be able to see it. And then I think it was Japan, and I happened to be there not for Special Olympics, but my son was in Peace Corps there, and we went over, and we did attend the Special Olympics, which I ran into a lot of people I knew. And one boy, well, they had ice skating, figure skating.
Mm-hmm.
And when the news said to him, he had a third place medal, and said to him, "Are you happy with your third place medal?" And he looked up and he says, "Well, it's okay, but I would rather have had fourth."
Ah.
And he says, "Why would you like fourth?" "Because it's a bigger number than three."
Hey, all right, that's the way to take it. Thank you, Joy, very much for the call. Christina Harris, can you grab a microphone again, too, please? I want to ask you a couple questions. It is amazing how Eunice Shriver had this idea and got this rolling all over the country. What a wonderful thing to have done with her life, wasn't it?
It was. She was an amazing woman. In 1968, I think it was, she started a summer camp for about 50 athletes in, I think it was in somebody's backyard in Maryland. And that's where it all began. She saw all the possibilities and all the potential that the individuals with intellectual disabilities had at that small camp. And from there, she formed Special Olympics,
yeah.
And it just grew. And Special Olympics exists in over 170 countries.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's just great.
It's amazing. There's 220 accredited programs all over the world. And so there are a number of opportunities to get involved no matter where you live, whether you're in Wisconsin or you're elsewhere. So Special Olympics Wisconsin has been around for 41 years. We celebrated our 40th anniversary last year.
So if people would like to get involved in some way or make donations, how would they do that?
I would recommend visiting our website. It's specialolympicswisconsin.org.
Okay.
And from there, you can click on if you want to become a volunteer, if you want to donate. There's a number of ways to get involved. So definitely check out our website. That's specialolympicswisconsin.org.
Okay. And Rhonda put a link on our Facebook page, too, so you can go there, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And we have yet another. Your family is listening in full force here this morning. Anthony, Amy, do you have a sister named Amy?
Yes.
I'm so proud of you and so very grateful for Special Olympics, for all the wonderful opportunities it has brought our family. And I'm sure that's true for your family, too. It's really quite an organization. All right. Well, that was painless, wasn't it?
Yep, that was painless.
We're at the end of our time. Thank you all so much for being with us. Thank you for coming to the studio, and good luck. And I know some of the competitions won't take place this weekend because of no snow, but those that do, good luck to all of the athletes.
But they do have a basketball tournament the following Sunday, so they're they're still staying active.
And where is that? Can people come and see that?
Vincent High School.
All right.
On January 27th. It is a tournament, not a competition.
Okay.
It is basically so local area basketball teams can kind of get some games together to try to see where they would be divisioned for a competition. But Vincent High School, starting at 8 a.m., going until 6 p.m., Sunday, January 27th. The next, tournament is February 9th and 10th, also at Vincent High School. The local competition, which would advance to another level, is a combination of March 3rd and March 10th at Homestead High School.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks to Linda Brothen, who's a coach for Special Olympics, Anthony Porter, an athlete, Wisconsin Special Olympics, Christine Cherney, also an athlete, and they are competitors in just a variety of sports. Again, our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, has a link to Special Olympics where you can volunteer, send money, get people involved in the program, get new athletes, all of that. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning, who produces this program.